For our scripture reading, let us turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, and we'll read the whole chapter. John, chapter 17. And there we read God's holy word. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, and they are also that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me, hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So far the reading of God's holy word. The text of the sermon do you find in chapter 18 of the Gospel of John, And the verses, the last words of the verse 8 and verse 9. 8b and verse 9, where we read God's holy word. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which I spake, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Beloved congregation, the form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper has a rich content. This week, I was looking in the form for the solemn words I had in mind, words that represent the entire form. And as you know, the forms we use in our church are translated from the Dutch language. And to my astonishment, I could not find the familiar words. It is simply not translated. You wonder, what words? The words, I instead of you. They belong to the second part of the form, just before the sentence, whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you. Simply stated, Jesus instead of his people. I instead of you. We could write it down as a title above the form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. I instead of you. Because the meaning of the Lord's Supper can be summarized in these four words. I instead of you. And that is what we will write above the sermon. I instead of you. That is a self-surrendering love. That is a vicarious love. And a protecting love. I instead of you. Self-surrendering love. Vicarious love. Protecting love. Last Lord's Day, we heard that Jesus delivered himself up voluntarily. The Lord was with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus wrestled in Gethsemane and prayed that the cup of God's wrath might be taken away. And after that, he stood up and went with his disciples to the edge of the garden. At that time, they saw the soldiers coming, a band of men that wanted to arrest the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus asked them, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I am he. I am. And for a moment the Lord Jesus revealed his majesty. They went backward and fell to the ground. They all were witness of God's majesty. In the hour of darkness, Jesus revealed something of his divine majesty and glory. No enemy could do anything without the will of God. Jesus Christ rules even over the works of darkness. All the men scrambled back onto their feet, and they recovered themselves, and Jesus asked again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, verse 7 and verse 8, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. We see the voluntariness of Christ's suffering. He was willing to be captured. Jesus was a willing sufferer. He will give himself for his church. He loves his church and gives himself cheerfully, willingly, gladly, in order to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. And for that reason, he gives himself into the hands of the enemy. But who is actually seeking to kill him? Is it the Roman soldiers? Is it the Jewish people with their hearts full of hatred? Or is it the devil who seeks Jesus' life? Is he the great author of the hour of darkness? For sure, it is his hour. He thought that he could destroy God's plan of salvation by causing enmity towards Jesus. But Jesus did not surrender himself to the devil. No, it is God that works in the background of this arrest. As we hear Peter preaching more than 50 days later on the day of Pentecost, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye had taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. The soldiers and the Jewish people take him. But it all happens according to God's counsel. The arrest of Jesus is the fulfillment of God's plan. As we heard last week, Jesus knew all that would happen to him. He knew of the hands that would grab him. He knew that they would arrest him because he had to bear the wrath of God against the sin of his people. The Lord Jesus was in agony just a few moments before, when he wrestled in the Garden of Gethsemane and was faced with the cup of God's wrath. But when he stood up from his prayer, he was delivered from his agony. As we read in Hebrews 5, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Now the wrath of God is coming upon him. Physically, through the soldiers and temple guards which seek him to arrest, the Lord offers himself voluntarily to the penalty of God. When he saw the band of men coming, he saw God's wrath. He saw God's offended justice. The hands that wanted to capture him are not the hands of the soldiers or temple guards in the first place, but behind these hands, the Lord Jesus sees the hands of his Father. The deep suffering of the Lord Jesus starts here in Gethsemane. And why does God arrest his Son? Only because Jesus is appointed and anointed to be the deliverer of his people. He is the Lord's servant foretold by Isaiah. He will be laden with the guilt of his church. We read about his suffering in Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we read, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All the iniquity of his people through all the ages, from the past and from the future, is pressed together and are laid on his shoulders. He, the sinless Son of Man, is viewed by the Father as a man of iniquity. God approached his Son as if he had committed all the sins of his people, as if Jesus is a horrible sinner. Jesus is the mediator of his people. See here the miracle of grace. Jesus did not hide because he knew that God would arrest him, because God would pour out his wrath upon his Son. Jesus did not try to hide himself amongst the trees of the garden like Adam and Eve in paradise. They hid themselves when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. They fled from their accountability. They were frightened of the justice of God. They tried to shift the blame and guilt to others. Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent. They were afraid to take the responsibility and bear the penalty. And that is how we are, congregation. We are children of Adam. We like to shift our responsibility to others. We cover our guilt and deceive ourselves with reasoning that our sins are not so bad. We feel uncomfortable when we are pointed to as damn worthy sinners. And we blame the circumstances, or we make agreements with sin. We always know people who commit worse sins. We are so inclined to cover our sins. Have you discovered that already? Did the Lord uncover your sins so that you cannot hide yourself anymore behind a tree? We commit sin and we try to cover our sins. How miserable we are. Solomon says in Proverbs, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whose confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." We all are like Adam and Eve. We hide ourselves when the accusation of sin is directed to us. But look at the Lord Jesus, who was without sin, but was laden with the sins of his people. He does not hide himself when he sees the hands of God's wrath stretching forward to arrest him. No, the Lord Jesus goes forth. He takes a step forward to meet the wrath of God. He offers himself voluntarily. Why? Because of self-surrendering love. Because of his love to the justice of God. Because of his everlasting love for his people. He reveals self-surrendering love in offering himself voluntarily to bear the penalty because of God's wrath on the sins of his people. It is as if the Lord Jesus says, "Let me pay the price. Let the eternal wrath come over me. Let me suffer the pain of the hell. Let me perish. I will stand in the place of sinners. I instead of you. Whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way." And for that reason, he allows himself to be arrested in self-surrendering love. He did it out of love for Peter, for James, for John, for all the disciples who deserved nothing but everlasting damnation. Yes, you and I deserve damnation, to be forsaken by God forever, to bear the burden of the sins we committed. We deserve to undergo the eternal wrath of God. We have forfeited every blessing by our sins. We deserve to be cast away from the presence of God. But miracle of the gospel, in his self-surrendering love, Jesus says, "If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way." Let us pay close attention to the manner in which the Lord Jesus spoke these words. How was this request addressed to the band of men? Not as a polite request. Jesus does not negotiate with the soldiers by saying, well, if you seek me, let us make an agreement that you take only me and not my disciples. I will surrender myself voluntarily on condition that my disciples go their way. No. The Lord Jesus ordered the soldiers. He rules everything this night. He is in control. Jesus is not begging, please, if you seek me, let my disciples go free. It is his command. It is his summons, voiced by the Lord of Lords. He commands, even now, while it is the hour of darkness, even now, while he stretches forth his arms to be bound, he displays his majesty. The Apostle John writes at the beginning of his gospel, John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When did John and the other disciples see the glory of Jesus? Not only during the glorification on the Mount of Transfiguration, not only when they witnessed the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. When John views, through the eyes of faith, Jesus' walk on the earth, he observes that every act of the Lord Jesus was filled with glory and majesty. We behold his glory when he offers himself up in the garden to God in his self-surrendering love. His glory is upon all his works, for Jesus is in control. He reigns even when the opposite seems true. Jesus approaches the band of men with a dignified question, not as a request, but as a command that must be followed. God's word must be fulfilled. The Lord Jesus commands the leader of the Roman soldiers. But here again, the Lord Jesus gives his command not just to men, but more especially to God. Behind these soldiers, God acts. So the Lord Jesus gives his command not only to the Roman officer, but to God as well. For God is arresting his son for the guilt of his people. God captures his son to lay upon him the penalty of his people. So the Lord Jesus commands God, if therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. That sounds a little bit strange, doesn't it? Can Jesus command God? Is he allowed to do so? Does he have the authority? Yes, he has the authority to do so. He can command based on God's justice. This is according to God's own word. It is according to God's counsel of peace from all eternity. In fact, Jesus here already points to his work that will soon be finished. For Jesus shall pay for all the sins of his people. He will bear their penalty. He will bear it alone. When the Lord Jesus pays the price with his blood, all his people will be delivered from the burden of sin. When Jesus pays the price, his people are set free, unpunished. The Lord Jesus points his Father to his own work that he will finish. The Lord Jesus said, as it were, to God, I will enter the hellish pain and fear alone. I will fulfill thy word. I will finish the work thou hast given me to do. I instead of them. And for that reason, I command, if therefore you seek me, let these go their way. Jesus can demand this on the basis of his own work, because he offers himself to the sacrifice voluntarily. And God, he must grant the demand. God wants to do it, for he is the God who cannot lie. Just picture the band of men in the garden on the one part, and Jesus and the 11 disciples on the other part. We see the Lord Jesus going a step forward to meet the band of men, and the disciples stand behind Jesus, and the Lord Jesus gives his command, and the disciples stand at a safe distance behind Jesus. No one can touch them. Jesus points to himself in this short conversation with the soldiers. Isn't this the picture of the Church of Christ? The arrows of God's righteous anger are directed to Jesus and to him alone. And what a blessing if you stand behind the Lord Jesus and the arrows of God's wrath do not hit you, but only his Son. Watch the soldiers coming. They're coming with their swords and clubs. They're all directed towards Jesus. God's anger is directed to his eternal Son, to his only begotten Son. You are safe behind Jesus. Only if you are behind Jesus, no arrow of God's anger can hit you. Behind the Lord Jesus, you are saved. Do you know something of this? To be behind Jesus. Did you seek the Lord Jesus to hide yourself behind him? Did you already take refuge to the Lord Jesus? Did you come to him as a lost sinner? As a sinner with a broken and contrite heart, because you cannot suffer anymore to be under the wrath of God. You cannot love sin any longer. You desire to live in holiness before the Lord. Oh, many questions can remain in your heart. You can experience many doubts in your heart. You must confess that you have nothing but guilt. But did you ever look unto the Lord Jesus in faith? Did you ever trust his finished work for you personally? If you do not know anything of this, you are still in danger. You are in great danger because without hiding behind the Lord Jesus, the arrows of God's wrath are still directed towards you. No, you may not sense that because God withholds his anger. God is slow to wrath. He is long-suffering. He takes no pleasure in condemning people. But one day he will. On the day of the days, when the Lord Jesus comes back to judge the living and the dead. But now it is still the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You can still hide behind Jesus, the mediator upon whom came all the arrows of God's anger. God proclaims to you the way of escape from eternal death. There is a mediator and savior. There is salvation in him alone. Without him, you will perish. How dreadful if you waste your time, the accepted time, with things that will not endure to all eternity. There will always be a thirst after prosperity. There will always be a seeking after riches and happiness in this life. Everyone tries to make his life a success. But how important is your wealth, your house, your health, your good intentions? It is of little importance in comparison to this question. Are you hiding behind the Lord Jesus? Has the penalty you deserve been borne by the Lord Jesus? Do not rest till you hear the affirmative answer to this crucial question. Did you hear it from the Lord by word and spirit? If that does not change in your life, you will once face the bitter consequences. You will accuse yourself. I should have used my time properly. I should have sought the Lord unceasingly. Just look at the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The wrath of God is horrific. You have so much reason to seek the Lord. You need to be exhorted to seek the Lord now. I urge you to call upon the Lord. May that be the fruit of this week of preparation. Earnestly seek the Lord and confess that you have a hardened heart. Confess your unwillingness to live before His presence. Confess your tendency to hide your sin and to minimize your debt before God. For now it is the accepted time. The chief sinner finds room behind the Lord Jesus, for there is salvation in Him. Look at the Lord Jesus in His self-surrendering love. See Him in His vicarious love. He stretches His arms forward to be captured. He knew the weight of the burden that would soon come upon Him. He knew for whom He suffered. He suffered in the stead of sinners who have nothing but guilt. You cannot have sinned too much to find room behind Jesus. You cannot have sinned too long to find place behind Jesus. You cannot be too old or too young. There is room even for the chief sinner. Or are you afraid that there will be no room for you? Why do you think so? If you undervalue Jesus as mediator and savior, you are still haughty. Haughty in your so-called humbleness. Haughty in your reluctance to take refuge to the Lord Jesus. In your reluctance to take refuge to the Lord Jesus. You are commanded to hide behind the Lord Jesus. Just consider for a moment who His disciples are. We see Peter, who will deny Jesus thrice. We see a Thomas, who loses hope and becomes depressed. Jesus stood in front of God's wrath, a substitute for them all. Would there be no place for you? Is He not able to break open your heart by the all-conquering power of His Spirit? Jesus says, "If therefore ye seek Me, let these go their way." What happens? Peter takes action. He cut off the ear of Malchus. But after that, we read the Gospel of Matthew, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. They all flee. The Lord Jesus, a few hours before, had foretold in the upper room what would happen this night. He referred to a text of the prophet Zechariah. I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. They all flee, but not to the Lord. They all take off. They flee into the darkness, literally and spiritually. Where do we notice the shepherd's care for his disciples? How can a shepherd take care of his sheep when they all wander away? Just look at the disciples. In a few hours, Peter will deny the Lord. All the disciples are scared. No one remembers the word of the Lord Jesus about the suffering that must take place. There is no exercise in faith, no taking of refuge to the Lord. When the sword of God's anger pierces the Lord Jesus, the disciples lose all hope. They plunge into the depth of despondency. And maybe you recognize something of this in your life. The spiritual darkness enters your heart. All God's children know something of spiritual despondency. The one more than the other. At one time, there was the experience of the Lord's goodness toward you. You remember the gospel breaking through in your life. Your obstacles were taken away. Your debt melted away like snow before the sun. You experienced something of the abundance of grace revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord comforted your contrite heart, and you enjoyed the nearness of the Lord. But now, it is all gone. In this week of preparation, you beseech the Lord to remember His own work. You sing along with Psalter 164, I long as in the time of old, Thy power and glory to behold within Thy holy place. But doubts came instead of hope. You wonder, am I mistaken? Did I ever know true faith? Spiritual darkness fills your heart. Do not forget that when during the dark night the disciples were without hope, the Lord Jesus stretched out His arms to be captured voluntarily. He commanded, if therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. That does not mean that the disciples now have to take care of themselves. It does not mean that the disciples have to choose their own way. No, they have to leave the Lord Jesus, for He will proceed with His task as mediator and savior. He has to go the way of suffering alone. But when He goes the way of suffering, He is not without His disciples. What do I mean? When the Lord Jesus is to be slain as a lamb, He will carry His disciples, His church, on His heart. For He is the mediator. He is the great high priest who sacrificed His life instead of His people. While suffering, He carries all the names of His people on His heart, just like the high priest did in the Old Testament. As you know, the high priest carried a breastplate with 12 stones, and in every stone the name of the tribe was written. And the Bible tells us that the high priest carried it on his heart. That's a biblical expression. He carried it on the Day of Atonement. He went into the sanctuary with blood. Without blood, he could not enter the sanctuary and be in the presence of God. And once a year, he was allowed to enter the most holy place to seek atonement for his people. And for that reason, he bears the breastplate with the 12 stones. And he came with the 12 tribes, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and so on. He carried every tribe separately on his heart. That is how he came into the presence of God, seeking atonement for every tribe. Jesus Christ is the only high priest who will secure reconciliation for his church. No, we see no breastplate, but in his heart, he carries every individual member. When they set him before the judgment seat, he does not forget his church. When they beat him, spit in his face, when they will scourge him, he still remembers his church. He carries the names of his church on his heart continually. Even when he suffers untold pain, when they plow upon his back, when they put upon his head a crown of thorns so that blood flows over all his body, when they hang him on a cross and drive the nails through his hands and feet, he still remembers his church, for he is the great high priest for every individual member. He suffers in their stead. That is the deep meaning of the words, "If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way." It means that Jesus takes their place. He will suffer instead of them. He will secure reconciliation for all his people. In this way, he fulfilled his own word, as we read in verse 9, "that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none." The saying is from Jesus himself. We can read it in chapter 17 in the so-called high priestly prayer, verse 12. After the institution of the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus prayed his prayer just before he went out with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. A few hours before the Lord was arrested, he had prayed, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." A few hours later, this word was fulfilled. None of them is lost. Although they flee from him, although darkness fills their heart, none of them is lost. Because of his prayer and because of his blood, they are safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are safe because of the reconciliation he obtains. They were given by the Father, every individual by name. In Jesus Christ, none of them is lost. For he prayed for every one of his disciples. He paid for Peter, who will deny the Lord Jesus. Oh, Satan shall shift him as wheat, and Peter will be tossed in the sieve of Satan. He shall be tossed and almost fall over the edge of the sieve, but he will not be lost. Why not? Because Peter repented. Because Peter leaned on the Lord. No, Peter's salvation is anchored in Christ's intercession. Peter is saved only because Jesus bears his name on his heart when he prays and when he shed his blood. For your own experience, you can lose all spiritual confidence. It can be so dark inside after received grace. You can be in despair and wonder whether the Lord ever started a good work in you. Where can you find solid ground under your feet? Where can you find rest and comfort for your soul? Maybe you are afraid. If nothing changes, I will be lost. But Jesus has prayed, "Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none." Many doubts can fill your heart. The fear of hell can fill your heart. What a blessing. God's church is saved by the finished work of the Lord Jesus. The Lord's people will not be lost because of his intercession, because of his blood. Maybe you say that is true for all those given by the Father. But I do not know whether I belong to these people. Am I a given one? Did the Lord carry my name when he went the way of suffering and dying? Understandable question. Just consider for a while what kind of persons are actually given by the Father. How does the Lord find his people? He finds them not as people who seek the Lord, not as people that have faith, not as people that know their sins so well. He finds them as lost ones, ripe for destruction. Those are his people. They have no dignity in themselves. And the text of this evening reveals to us that there is salvation for such. For those that know nothing. For those that only have guilt. For those who do not know how to become a partaker of Christ. For those who have no hope in themselves. Place your hope in the Lord, for he came into this world to seek and to find that which is lost. Your heart shall live, ye saints that seek the Lord. He helps the needy and regards their cries. Those in distress the Lord will not despise. Take refuge to the mediator, to the high priest, in whom salvation is secure. But if you do not know anything of this wrestling and struggling concerning your soul, I am afraid you are in great danger. You are in danger as long as you place confidence in your spiritual fruit, as long as you rest in your spiritual experiences and your good intentions. Maybe you can tell something about spiritual experiences. But as long as you do not truly surrender, you do not know grace. The Lord invites his children to his table. Those who have learned to confess that they do not bear spiritual fruit of themselves. They have learned to die to themselves. They are in need of daily conversion. And they sense the pain of sin. They have learned to seek salvation out of themselves in Jesus Christ. Are you in need? Do you lie in the midst of death? You may not celebrate the Lord's Supper for shallow reasons. You may not celebrate the Lord's Supper because of some feelings of sorrow and comfort. No, you need to know Him, the Lord Jesus, in His passion and death. You need the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which will only be imputed to you by a true faith. That means that you seek your life in Christ and in Him alone. You repent from your sin to the Lord. Sins become so bitter when you see them in the light of His suffering. You desire reconciliation. When you look in faith to the Lord Jesus, you find rest and peace in Him alone. You sink away in wonder because of this miracle. I instead of you, whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death. You desire to live in thankfulness to God. You want to be obedient to the Lord. You desire the communion with God in Christ. You desire to receive a place at the table and see by renewal and see more of His love, of His salvation, of His sufficient sacrifice, of Him who filled your heart with love. He still invites such to His table and will strengthen them in their weakness. Amen.